Hare Krishna. So today was Prabhupada's class. We just listened to the class by Srila Prabhupada. And so since I'm here only for today, this afternoon I'm leaving. Brajahari Prabhu requested me to give a class after Srila Prabhupada's lecture. So what I'll do is, as usual, what we do in our classes, elaborate Srila Prabhupada's presentation. That is the custom, that's the system we have in ISKCON in giving Bhagavatam class. We read the verse, Prabhupada's translation, Prabhupada's purport, and then we give the class based on Srila Prabhupada's teachings. So today we'll do the same thing. We just listen to Prabhupada's lecture and we'll try to speak on that, elaborate on that. The verse that Prabhupada gave the class on is from the 6th canto, 2nd chapter, text 17. Taistan nadhani puyante tapodano bratadibhi nadharmajang tad dridayang tapodishang kri sevaya. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Although one may neutralize the reactions of sinful life through austerity, charity, vow, and other such methods, these pious activities cannot uproot the material desires in one's heart. However, if one serves the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is immediately freed from all such contaminations. So please repeat after me. Although one may neutralize the reactions of sinful life through austerity, charity, vows, and other such methods, these pious activities cannot uproot the material desires in one's heart. However, if one serves the lotus feet of the Personality of Godhead, he is immediately freed from all such contaminations. So this verse is in relation to Ajamil delivered by Vishnu Dutas. So you all remember Ajamil's episode, what happened to Ajamil? Ajamil, although he was the son of a Brahmana, and although he was trained up very nicely in his early days as a young boy, but unfortunately Ajamil fell down due to bad association. And he became extremely sinful. Extremely sinful. But fortunately, at the time of his death, he called out his youngest son to whom he was very attached, by his name, Narayan. His youngest son's name was Narayan, and Ajamil was very attached to his youngest son. So at the time of death, when the Jamadutas came to reclaim him, to be taken to Jamalaya, to be punished for his sinful reactions, Ajamil, being extremely afraid, and also realizing now the time has come for him to die, he remembered his youngest son, who he was very attached to. Actually, that's what will happen to all of us. At the time of death, we will remember the object of our deepest attachment. Wherever we develop our deepest attachment, that will be the last thought at the time of leaving our body. So Ajamil was extremely attached to his youngest son, and he remembered him. And by Krishna's mercy, the name of that son was Narayan. And he called out to him by his name. And as soon as he chanted the name of Narayan, immediately Vishnudutas came and drove away the Jamadutas. And this is how Ajamil got a second chance. He got a second chance. He was about to die. He was, because of his sinful activities, he was meant to be punished very severely in Jamalaya, in the abode of Jamraj. And in this context, this verse is saying that although one may neutralize the reactions of sinful life through austerities, charities, vow and other such methods, these pious activities cannot uproot the material desires from one's heart. These things, austerities and pious activities, can neutralize our sinful reactions, but cannot completely free our heart from our sinful reactions. The austerities can nullify some sinful reactions, but it cannot uproot the material desires from the heart. And then it has been pointed out, the only thing that can uproot the material desires from our heart is devotional service to the lotus feet of the Lord. So I'll just read the purport. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, bhakti parishanubhava viraktir annatra cha. Devotional service is so powerful that one who performs devotional service is immediately freed from all sinful desires. All desires within this material world are sinful because material desire means sense gratification, which always involves actions that is more or less sinful. Pure bhakti, however, is annabhilashita sunya. In other words, it is free from material desires, which result from karma and jnana. One who is situated in devotional service no longer has material desires, and therefore he is beyond sinful life. Material desires should be completely stopped. Otherwise, although one's austerities, penances and charity may free one from sin for the time being, one's desire will reappear because his heart is impure. Thus he will act sinfully and suffer. So Prabhupada is pointing out in the purport, elaborating this verse, that austerities, penances and other such activities and charity, austerities, charities and vows, tapasya, tapo, dan and brata may purify the sinful reactions, but it cannot uproot the desires for sense gratification. And Prabhupada is pointing out that any kind of sense gratification, or most of the sense gratification, are due to our material desires. Therefore, they are sinful. All our desires are sinful because they are intended for for enjoying this body. That is the root of all our sinful activities. So the pap or sinful activities may be neutralized by pious activities like austerities, charity and vows, but it cannot uproot the desire for sense gratification from the heart. Therefore, although the sinful activities had been neutralized, but there is a possibility of production of new sinful activities, because the desire for sense gratification is there. The Prabhupada is pointing out, elaborating this verse, that devotional service is the only thing that can actually uproot the desires from the heart for sense gratification. Because pure devotional service means annabhilashita sunnam, no other desire, anna abhilashita sunnam, devoid of any other desire besides desire to serve Krishna. Even the desire, what to speak of desire for sense gratification, pure devotional service is even free from the desire for liberation. Jnana karmad anabritam. Karma leads to sense gratification, or sense gratification results into indulgence in karmic reactions. And jnana leads to liberation. Karma leads to material sense gratification, and jnana leads to liberation from material bondage. But pure devotional service is jnana karmad anabritam, devoid of the desire not only for sense gratification, but even the desire, devoid of desire of liberation. A devotee doesn't even desire for liberation. Even liberation is offered to a devotee, not only the sajujya mukti, but the mukti in Vaikuntha of Sarupa, Salakya, Samatya and Sashti, Diyamanang Nagrindhanti Bina Matsevanang Jana. Even they are offered to a devotee doesn't want to accept it. A devotee simply wants Matsevanam, my service. Why? Because the service to Krishna is more relishable, more enjoyable than even the platform of liberation. So, devotional service is so joyful that one automatically gives up the desire for sense gratification or even liberation. That is called parandrishtva, getting the higher taste. When we get the higher taste, we can automatically give up. We not can, but we automatically give up the lower taste. Getting the higher taste, we give up lower taste. So the taste for Krishna consciousness is so relishable that one gives up his desire for sense gratification or even liberation. Jnana karmad anabritam. And then while giving class, Prabhupada was pointing out, he was elaborating on that, that what is the cause of sinful activities? Cause of sinful activities is due to our bodily designation. And we become active in the bodily designation due to the mode of passion and ignorance. Kama lobha dayashchaji. No, Kama, Prabhupada put it the first. Kama esha, krodha esha, rajoguna samudbhava. All these desires for sense gratification comes from the mode of passion. Rajoguna samudbhava. We want to become active in the material nature due to the influence of the mode of passion, rajoguna. And what is the purpose of being active in the material nature? Sense gratification. stemming from kaam, lust. And one after another it goes on and on and on. Lust, greed, anger, illusion, pride, envy. Kaam means the desire to gratify our senses, desire to exploit the objects of this material nature for our sense pleasure. That's lust. Lust leads to greed. When the desire for enjoyment is frustrated, we become angry. And anger leads to bewilderment. When you become angry, krodhat bhavati sanmoha, and sanmohat smriti vibhrama. We become bewildered, and as a result of our bewilderment, we lose our smriti, memory. So in this way, just this lust, desire for sense gratification, ties us up, down, or rather ties us down to this material nature. All due to the mode of passion. And then being active due to the mode of passion, we become tired, then we fall asleep, mode of ignorance. So material nature is cycling. One in the material nature is simply rotating from passion to ignorance, ignorance to passion, passion to ignorance, ignorance to passion. Throughout the day, due to the mode of passion, we become so active. And then at night, we become tired and we fall asleep in the mode of ignorance, passion to ignorance. Then in the morning again we wake up, become active again in the mode of passion. Work throughout the day, at night we fall asleep in the mode of ignorance. But then Prabhupada is pointing out that when one becomes situated in the mode of goodness, he actually comes out of that cycle of passion ignorance. He stands aside and with his knowledge he observes the influence of these two modes. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. Jai Shri Shri Radha Rash Bihari Ki Jai. Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. And this passion and ignorance can be overcome, or we can come out of the cycle of this influence of passion and ignorance with the mode of goodness. Goodness is knowledge. Goodness is generated from real knowledge, wisdom. And then one can stand aside. And then Prabhupada is pointing out that to come to the mode of goodness, one performs these austerities. He performs these pious activities. He should take the vows of not being affected by the modes of passion and ignorance. But then also Prabhupada is pointing out that austerity is very difficult in this age. People are not strong enough to perform austerities. In other ages, people used to perform austerities in a very, very serious and severe way. They used to go up on top of the Himalayan mountain or Vindha mountain. And there they would perform severe austerities. Like even the demons used to perform austerities, like Hiranyakashipu. He performed such austerities that the ants ate up his whole body and created an anthill. His entire body was eaten up by the ants. And he was standing just on one leg, and that also on the toe of his left foot, with his hands raised upwards and not moving. Not what to speak of eating, sleeping. No. So those care, no concern for the body, standing there. They are such powerful personalities. The powerful means their spirit soul was so strong with their spiritual potency that they were not affected by the body's influence. But eventually, with the demons, it's all for the sake of the body. Now, they are undergoing these austerities for the sake of greater sense gratification. So, we can see, I mean, how severe used to be the austerity of those people. Now, to just to think of it, we may shudder. Like going up on top of Mandar Mountain, on top of a mountain, and on top of that mountain standing on one leg with his hands raised upwards. Not moving at all, because if he moved, then we can see like the ants gathered around his body and started to eat. If he moved, then the ants had to move out. So because he was standing there without moving, the ants just kept on eating his body. So what to speak of that kind of austerity? Any kind of austerity is not possible for this age. So for us, in simple words, nullifying our karmic reactions through pious activities is completely out of question. There is no way we can become free from our sinful activities by performance of austerities, vows, and other pious activities. But there is another very wonderful possibility. That possibility has been pointed out in this verse. That is, these pious activities may nullify the karmic reactions, but they cannot uproot the desires for enjoyment, sense gratification from the heart. That can be nullified only by pure devotional service. So although we are unqualified to perform pious activities to nullify our karmic reactions, but we have got the facility to uproot the desire for sense gratification from the heart by pure devotional service. That is a wonderful prerogative for us in this most degraded age of Kali. We got the access to pure devotional service by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, who is distributing the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu created a wonderful opportunity for the people of this age of Kali. And that opportunity is direct access to pure devotional service, which was not available in other ages. They had to come to the platform of pure devotional service in other ages by performing all kinds of gradual development, by gradually developing from karma to the jnana platform, and perfection of jnana is in samadhi, and after samadhi they used to come to the platform of surrender or prapatti or sharanagati. See, the process was like that. Perform the karmakanda, act according to the karmakanda section of the Vedas. Then transcending the karmakanda section, they would come to the jnanakanda section of the Vedas. And the highest platform of jnanakanda is Ashtanga Yoga. And through Ashtanga Yoga, when they would perform, they would achieve the perfection of Ashtanga Yoga through Samadhi, and through Samadhi, when they would see the Lord in the heart, then only they would be able to surrender to the Lord. By seeing the Lord in the heart and seeing His greatness, and in relation to the Lord's greatness, when they would see their minuteness, they would surrender to the Lord. And that surrender is the beginning of devotion, Sharanagati. But in this age, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give us the access of Sharanagati directly. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Jibe Daya Kori, Shapar Shad Shiyodham, Shaho Abotori, অত্যন্ত দুর্লভ প্রেম করিবারে দান, শিখায় শরণাগতি ভকতের প্রাণ। শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য মহাপ্রভু ইন অর্ডার টু বিস্টো হিজ ইনকনসিভেবল মার্সি আপন দ্য ফলেন সোলস অব দ্য এজ অফ কলি অ্যান্ড বিস্টো দেম আ ভেরি ভেরি রেয়ার কৃষ্ণ প্রেম, হি ইজ টিচিং দ্য প্রসেস অফ শরণাগতি অ্যালং উইথ হিজ অ্যাসোসিয়েটস অ্যান্ড ডিভোটিস। সো দিস ইজ দ্য রেয়ার অপরচুনিটি দ্যাট ইউ হ্যাভ রিসিভ, ডাইরেক্ট অ্যাক্সেস টু ডিভোশনাল সার্ভিস, পিওর ডিভোশনাল সার্ভিস। And by having that access to pure devotional service, there is no need to separately perform these pious activities. But the only thing is that we should not indulge in sinful activities. Now that we have access to pure devotional service, no more sinful activities. And that is why Srila Prabhupada instituted these four regulative principles: no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. Because these are the four pillars of, these are the four legs of sin. Just as an animal stands on four legs, sin personified stands on four legs. And these are the four legs of sin. And by abstaining from these sinful activities, one will automatically indulge in the pillars or the four foundation of dharma. And what are the four dharma, or four foundations of dharma, four pillars of dharma? Austerity, mercy, cleanliness and truthfulness. Just abstain from these four sinful activities and the foundation of dharma will be established. Automatically austerity will be performed. Automatically mercy will be displayed. Automatically we will become purified, free from all contaminations. And automatically we will become situated on the platform of truthfulness. So that is the most wonderful gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which Srila Prabhupada has distributed all over the world so mercifully. And it is due to Srila Prabhupada's mercy we have got this life, a life of pure devotional service. We don't have to worry about anything else. Simply we have to follow this process. Chant the holy name, which is the highest form of devotional activity. Chanting the holy name of the Lord. And we have to protect ourselves by following these four regulative principles. And Prabhupada gave us the assurance, you just do that. Chant the holy name of the Lord offenselessly without committing the 10 offenses to the holy name, and follow these four regulative principles, and your journey back to the spiritual sky is guaranteed. Srila Prabhupada assured us of that. So that is the most most wonderful display of the Lord's mercy through His pure devotee in this most degraded age, for the most degraded individual like ourselves. Thank you all very much. Today also is the appearance day of Srila Jayadev Goswami. Jayadev Goswami is a great devotee of Krishna. Jayadev Goswami appeared even before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Praja Prem, Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, was not properly understood by the people. Very few understood the wonderful loving relationship that Krishna had with the damsels of Vrindavan. And Srila Jayadev Goswami is one such devotee. He was a great poet. One of his masterpieces is Gita Govindam. Gita Govindam. And the songs of Govinda. And that Nishinga prayer that we sing every day, Tavakara Kamala Vare, is from the invocation of that Gita Govinda. He spoke about 10 different incarnations of the Lord as an invocation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to relish Jayadev's poetry of Gita Govinda. Chandana Charchita Neela Kalevara Pita Vasana Banamali. So it's a beautiful narration. Jayadev's poetry also had a very, very special relationship with Jagannath. Jagannath used to love to listen to Jayadev's poetry. Most of the performances of Devdasis in Jagannath Puri, the girls who dance in front of Lord Jagannath for his pleasure, are based on Gita Govindas of Jayadev Goswami. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself also used to relish. There are few, very few personalities like that who actually had access to Krishna's Braj of Prem. Vrindavan pastimes is very rare, very special. Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes is beyond Vaikuntha. In simple words, we can say that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Vrindavan, is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the specialty of Krishna's Braja Leela. In Vrindavan, Krishna is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Vrindavan, Krishna is a cowherd boy. Krishna in Vrindavan has three very special relationships with his devotees that is not possible to have with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those three relationships are friendship, parental, and conjugal relationships. Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhur. Why they are not possible with the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Because Sakya takes place, friendship takes place among the equals. Now who can become equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Therefore, forget about friendship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At least in friendship, friendship takes place among equals. Vatsalya, parental, there the object of love becomes subordinate to the parents. So, who can become greater than the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Can anybody become greater than the Supreme Personality of Godhead? No. And conjugal, a loving relationship like that of a young boy and a young girl, how that kind of relationship be possible with the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Now, it may not be possible for one to become equal to the Lord. It may not be possible to become superior to the Lord, and it may not be possible for developing a relationship like that between a young girl and a young boy with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if the Lord wants, He can become equal. One cannot become equal to Krishna, but if Krishna wants, He can become equal to somebody. If Krishna wants, He can become subordinate to somebody. And Vrindavan is the place where Krishna has become equal to his devotees. Krishna has become subordinate to his devotees and so forth. But in order to do that, Krishna had to make his devotees forget that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is Vrindavan.
Krishna made.
Jogomaya, by the arrangement of Jogomaya, the devotees of Vrindavan have forgotten that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Again, there are two kinds of forgetfulness. One is forgetfulness out of ignorance. And what is the other kind of forgetfulness? Forgetfulness out of love. Out of ignorance we forget, that's understandable. But this is a very special kind of forgetfulness. Forgetting the position of the person due to intense love for that person. Example, the son has become the state president, big man. But does the mother treat him like a state president? It is not that the mother doesn't know that he is the state president, but to the mother it doesn't matter that he is a state president. Even when he comes home late, she chastises him. What have you been doing so late at night? So this is the kind of forgetfulness out of love. That is called mamata. The possessiveness is mine. Krishna is mine. His position doesn't matter. What really matters is he is mine. He is my friend. He is my child. He is my beloved. And that is Vrindavan. So this Vrindavan, which is beyond Vaikuntha, in Vaikuntha Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Narayan is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in Vrindavan, Krishna is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is a cowherd boy. And he has his amazingly intense loving relationship with his devotees. So Jayadev Goswami is one such rare personality who knew about Krishna's and Krishna's identity in Vrindavan. Another person is Chandidas. Jayadev, Chandidas, Vidyapati, Kavi Karnapur. His Krishna Karnamrita is so rare. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relished it so much that he personally copied it when he went to South India. Two books he copied with his own hands. One is Brahma Samhita and the other is Krishna Karnamrita. So these are some very, very rare personalities who appeared before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Otherwise, before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes one was a mystery to most of the people. Basu Ghosh, an associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is mentioning that way, that Jodi Gaura na hoito, tabe ki hoito kamone dhoritam dehe. If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not come, then how would I have maintained my body and soul together? Because then who would have revealed the loving relationship between Radha and Krishna? Who would have revealed the glory of Srimati Radharani? Jodi Gaura na hoito, tabe ki hoito, kamone dhoritam dehe. Premo rasho shima radharo mohima jagote janato kehe. Then who would have revealed the glory of Srimati Radharani, whose love is the highest epitome of transcendental loving relationship? Madhuro brinda bipino madhuri probesho chaturi shar. Who would have been able to have access to the sweetness of the forest of Vrindavan? Borojo juboti bhabero bhakoti shakoti hoitokar. Who would have had the strength, who would have had the power to access to the loving relationship between Krishna and the young damsels of Vrindavan? So it was not available before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We all are very fortunate that due to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, we understood Krishna's Braja Leela. We have access to Krishna's Braja Leela. But otherwise, it was not. Only some rare personalities had access to that. But most of the people didn't even understand their presentation. One very wonderful episode with Jayadev's life is that he was writing, while he was writing Gita Govinda, there is a section of Man Bhanjan. Radharani became upset. Radharani became angry. That loving anger is called Man. And Bhanjan means breaking. So breaking that Man of Srimati Radharani. That chapter, that portion. Radharani became very upset. Krishna was supposed to come to her at night. All the gopis had made all the arrangements in the groves of Vrindavan. But they were waiting and waiting and waiting. Krishna didn't come. Then finally when Krishna came, Radharani became so upset. She told her friends, "Tell that person not to come near me. Tell him that I don't even want to see his face. Tell him to get lost." So that is the angry mood of Srimati Radharani. So at that time, Krishna came begging forgiveness from Radharani. And while he was expressing his submission to Srimati Radharani, Krishna is telling that, "Please, give me the shelter of your magnanimous lotus feet." Jayadev couldn't write that. How can he write that Krishna is asking Radharani's shelter of Radhar? Everybody wants Krishna's lotus feet, but Krishna is asking Radharani's lotus feet. So he left that. He couldn't write it. He felt that he can't write that. So he then just stopped writing and he went to take his bath. So when he came back from taking his bath, he probably took his prasad. And then when he came back to start writing again, he saw that those two lines are written there. So he was surprised. So he asked his wife, "Did anybody come and write anything here?" So she said, "Yeah. You went to take your bath, and then you quickly came back and you wrote something, and then you went to take your bath." So then he understood who actually came and wrote it. So Krishna himself came, disguised as Jayadev Goswami, and wrote those two lines. So that is how great a devotee he was. So today is his birth appearance day. This day is celebrated in his birthplace, in northern part of Bengal, in a place called Kendu Villa. They have big festivity, but unfortunately it is the festivity of the upper sampradayas. Like what they do, this is the festival of smoking ganja. All these people just gather there. In this there is a big mela, Kendu Villa mela too. So this is how we can see that how degraded this age has become. Such a great poet's presentation has been so badly tarnished by these kind of degraded people. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada came to revive the glory of these personalities. ISKCON is the only place where these great devotees are being truly recognized and glorified. Srila Jayadev Goswami ki. Srila Jayadev Goswami Prabhupada ki. Gaur Premanande Hare Hare. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki. Does anybody have any comment, Maharaj? Do you have or question? Yeah? Well, you can take them as sense gratification, or you can also take them as social obligation. Right? I would suggest that take it as social obligation, not a sense. Don't go there for sense gratification. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Very good point. Like when they are serving the feast, make them serve Krishna Prasad. It can be cooked by Govindas and served there. That can be done. Yeah. No, not that. Make the whole feast as Krishna Prasad. Otherwise, mixing this with all kinds of inedible stuff is not also desirable. Just giving one pera is not going to serve the purpose. Yeah, good. What is your question? Yes. Yeah. Actually, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is not revealing the Braja aspect. He is revealing the Vaikuntha aspect or Paramatma aspect. Right? He is Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Riddeshe Arjuna Tishtati. Like, he is not giving the full, understanding of Braja in that way. But the last instruction is giving the indication of Braja. Mam ekam sharanam braja. And that verse is leading to Srimad Bhagavatam, which is actually revealing Braja. See, the last verse of Bhagavad Gita is leading to the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sarva dharman parityajya dharma prajjita kaitava atra paramanirmat saranam satam. So where Bhagavad Gita ended, Srimad Bhagavatam began. Hare Krishna. Okay, so, and
Hare Krishna. My question is related to Jayadev Goswami. And like you said, that Rapa Sampada is a spread out in Israelia, where holy name was to be spread. Similarly, happened in Siddha Bhagavan, Adastaku Samadhi, Jagannath Puri, and the Swaprada, where this Samadhi has been established. Is there any way Islam can revive? Because Namakaja, Adastaku, inspiration. Is there anything could be done to inspire? Because this message has to go for 10 years.
Yeah.
You have any?
It'll happen. Let ISKCON continue its preaching work as Srila Prabhupada designed. Then everything will come to ISKCON. Not only all the places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes and Krishna's pastimes, but even, it'll spread in every town and village. So all the places will come under the proper care and protection of ISKCON. Does it answer your question? Like there is no need to struggle to get them, you know, because then it's, you know, what to do? Like we have so much to do. What they're doing there, let them do it. Right? You see, there are two ways, you know, two strategies of battle. One strategy is attack the capital. Take over the capital. So that is Kali's strategy. And the other attack strategy is surround the enemy from all sides and crush him. That is Mahaprabhu's policy. So our business is let Krishna consciousness spread. And then the attack will come from all 10 sides. Not only from 8 sides, from above and below us. And the enemies won't have any place to hide. It will happen in course of time. Otherwise, you know, if we get into an unnecessary struggle, our real purpose will be lost. We'll just get caught up with all those unnecessary activities. Let's spread the holy name, and it will happen in course of time. Mother Siddhilalasa, give her the mic. Well, I think this question can be presented to the BBT trustees. And at least my simple response to that will be, you see, Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give an access to Vrindavan. And the way to do that is Sankirtan. Sankirtan means effective chanting of the holy name and propagation of the holy name. Effective cultivation of devotional service to Krishna and engagement of others into that service. And the taste of that is so wonderful that one will automatically become free from Hridrog, the heart disease, as Prabhupada was mentioning in that lecture today. The heart disease. And that heart disease is desire for sense gratification. You see, Kali Yuga is a very, very difficult age. Right? You can see, I mean, we may not include anyway, I mean, not so, like as you were saying, certain kind of pictures in the BBT publications and all. We may do that, but what about when people go out and see the billboards outside? They're 100 times worse than anything that has been painted in ISKCON, isn't it? So, you know, how do we, you know, we can't make them go out blindfold. They will be exposed to all kinds of things in the age of Kali. The only antidote to that is pure Krishna consciousness. Let them get the higher taste of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, and that is how they will be able to overcome the influence of this age of Kali. So, and that will be happening through preaching. And preaching means teaching. Not that we go out and preach to the congregation only. We have to preach to our own devotees. We have to preach to our own children. And that is how we have to educate them. And it is through proper knowledge that one will be able to overcome these influences. Anyway, I mean, that is my, response to that question, which is actually a very relevant question. I agree, I don't deny that. But my understanding is, let us develop Krishna consciousness in such a way that will automatically create a shield to protect ourselves from the onslaughts of the age of Kali. Thank you. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.